So tonight we're going to do a special, very special teaching. It's called Dongzhen Changdeb. My Lama taught it to me, I don't know, 20 years ago. It's sort of secret, a little bit secret. He never finished the whole thing. Another teacher of mine in the monastery taught it to me. And this is how it starts. I was in China recently, and I was struggling like how to explain these things to them. And I said, okay, so in the old days, people, when they wanted rice, they used to go out in the forest, and they would, people would walk through the forest and look for a single rice plant, right? Wild rice. And people would walk around the woods, and that's how they lived. Probably, I think they lived in a cave. Like, if you see the Papago Mountains right here, they're like littered with caves. There are hundreds of caves there, very beautiful. And I think they lived in the cave, and they went out and they wandered around the forest looking for rice. And it would be a single stalk of rice. And then they would pick like 5 grains of rice, and then, you know, the guy would come home with like 15 grains of rice or 20 grains of rice, you know, and that would be dinner. And if there were enough days that you didn't find rice, you died. And that was it. You know, your family died and you died. And that was very cruel, and that's the way it worked, you know. It was like that. You know, if you didn't find the rice today, if you didn't find it for a few days in a row, then you died. And that was it. Then I imagine, okay, I don't have like any clear information, but I'm making this up, okay? So this guy went out one day and he went to the forest and he picked rice from single plants. He walked all through the forest, he got one handful of rice. And then he was coming home. Yeah. And he met a dinosaur, okay? And so they punched it out, you know? And he wrestled with this dinosaur. And, you know, he dropped the rice, because when you wrestle with a dinosaur, you know, you can't hold on to your rice. And then there was a big, you know, thing, and then he beat the dinosaur, you know? He's all bloody, and he comes home. And the rice is gone, you know? The rice is spread all over. He comes home, his wife says, "Where's the rice?" And then he says, "I ran into a dinosaur." She said, "I don't care." You know? Then, I imagine, okay, I don't have any clear information on this, but he was going back out in the forest like 3 months later, and he came to the clearing where he met the dinosaur. And there's like 50 rice plants. And it's the first time he ever saw 50 rice plants in one place. And he's like, wow, you know, it's like, how did that happen? So he was like the smartest caveman. Smarter than Einstein, I think. I think you have to be, really, honestly. We don't appreciate the early inventors. You know? So he was like, hey, this is where I had to fight with the dinosaur, you know? And this is where I dropped all the rice and we kicked dirt all over it, you know? He's like, now there's like 50 plants, you know? Wow, this could be great, you know? We just throw rice on the ground and kick dirt on it, you know? And then we come back in 3 months. And there's this potential, like he gets this vision of potential in the world where people could, a thing called farming, you know? Like people could throw rice on the ground, cover it with dirt, and then come back in 3 months and they wouldn't, there would never be that uncertainty of whether you were going to find enough rice or not. It would be, what do you call it? Definite. You see what I mean? You would know you were going to have rice in 3 months. You know, if you were patient and if you threw it the right way and you kicked dirt on it the right way. So of course he went out and he picked all the rice, he came home. What interests me is not the first farmer. What interests me is the second farmer. Okay? Like that's what we're talking about. He's got to convince his wife. He comes home. You know? And he's got one handful. Now he's got 2 handfuls of rice, right? And he says, honey, you know, I got this mental breakthrough, you know? And she's like, what? And he says, we can have rice anytime we want. We don't have to wander around the forest, you know? She's like, how? And he says, he goes outside. He says, come outside the cave. He says, see that dirt over there? He says, throw the rice on the dirt. She's like, no, don't throw the rice on the dirt. He's like, keep dirt all over. You know? And then he says, oh, my husband went crazy, you know? He's probably picking other things in the forest, you know? And then And then she didn't really believe him, but she wants to believe him. And then he tells her the story. Remember, I came home, I fought the dinosaur, I lost all the rice. And if you keep dirt on it, and you wait 3 months, and if it rains right, you get rice, you know? And then we don't have to go looking out in the forest anymore. We can plant our own rice. And then we just pick it, and we eat. And everybody's happy, and nobody starves anymore, you know? And then in my mind, she was struggling, you see? In her mind, there was two viewpoints, right? One is the old viewpoint, right? To get rice, you must walk through the forest. You must pick single strands of rice. And that's the way you live. And that's the way we've always done it, you know? And if you're not lucky and you don't find enough, then some of the kids die, you know? And she grew up that way, and she was trained that way. She's thinking that way, right? And now she's got this new, this guy, her husband, and he's trying to convince her of this new way, right? And on that day, he introduces into her mind a new idea, right? A new way of making food, right? And then that's just the tiny seed in her mind, the new way. And then the existing way, her existing thinking, is 99% of her mind. And then this little seed of a new way is trying to what? You know, like there's a debate going on. There's a, what do you call it? There's like a battle in her mind, you know? And the new way is not strong. The new way in her mind is like, I don't think so. But there's a seed, right? And then she observes, I guess if she was smart, she tried it. She said, be reasonable, honey. You know, take one handful of rice, kick dirt on it. Let's see in 3 months. In the meantime, let's just do it the way we used to do it, you know? But in her mind, there's something, what do you call it? Gnawing away at her mind. There's some kind of idea in her mind. If he's right, if you could farm. They didn't have a word farm, right? If you could work, you know? If you could do that, then my children could all survive, for sure. It would be definite, you know? All the children in our family would survive. They would never die from lack of food. So she's like, hoping that that's true, right? And then she observes the first crop come up, and she's pretty, right? What do you call it? The farming thought is getting bigger than the, what do you call it? What do you call those guys? Gatherers. What do they call it? Hunters and gatherers, right? So the gatherer mind is getting smaller, which is uncertain results, right? People in the family could die. And then the farming state of mind, hey, let's just throw it all on the ground and kick dirt on it. You know, that state of mind is getting bigger and bigger. So I'm guessing that in the wife's mind, who is the second farmer in history, there was a battle going on between two ways of looking at the world and two ways of getting the things you want and you need. You see? And what I'm proposing is that the same, my goal for these 3 nights is to do the same thing to you. Okay? I believe there's a new way. And I tried it, okay? Well, you guys are supposed to do an introduction, so they're impressed. Never mind. Okay, forget it. I spent 25 years in the monastery. Then at the end, you're examined by 1,000 monks in Tibet. They yell questions at you for 3 weeks, like that. And then you have to answer. And if you get most of them right, then they make you a good head. Then my teacher said, now I want you to start a business. It's part of your exam, part of your final exam. And I'm like, I never heard of this part. You know? And he said, no, you go to New York and make $1 million in a year. We'll give the money to poor people, refugees. And then I want to see if you understand what we've been teaching you. You see? And so I didn't want to do business. I don't like business. He asked me to do the diamond business. I don't like diamond business. I think it's dirty and crummy. And he insisted that I try. So last year the business reached $250 million a year, and it was bought by Warren Buffett. And the way we did it is what I want to teach you. I want to teach you a way of throwing rice at the ground. Yeah, do it over. It's a new idea, okay? I want to propose to you a new way of doing things, okay? And then I want you to try it. Okay? What is that noise? Sorry. Just the washing machine next door. I'm going to introduce into your mind a small new way of thinking, okay? And then it's going to start a fight. If I'm good in these 3 nights, if I do my job well, a thought will be introduced in your mind about farming. The things you want in your life, everything. I say money, but it could be a relationship, it could be your health, it could be anything. I will teach you a new way of farming things, okay? And I'm introducing a new way of thinking into your mind. And then there's going to start a fight. You see? There's going to start a fight. What? Between your old way of thinking and your new way of thinking. Okay? I say your old way of thinking is like wandering around the forest looking for rice plants. Okay? I say the whole system in the world right now, getting up, go to work, try to make money, come home. You're like those, what do you call them? Cavemen. From my point of view, you're like a caveman. You know, because you're hoping that it will work out. And you're thinking, maybe I'll get a job. Maybe it will work out. Maybe I'll get what I want. Maybe I'll have a good relationship, maybe not. You know, maybe I'll find a guy, maybe I won't find a guy. You're like a caveman walking around the forest looking for single rice plants. Then I'm proposing that I can teach you to grow the things you want purposely. And then just relax. And what you want in your life will happen. Okay? And I did it. Okay? Just as an experiment. Okay? I didn't do it because I wanted to do business. I hate business. I have no interest in business. My teacher told my lama said, as an experiment, you try. You try a new system. And it's there. It's online. It's jewelry.com. Okay? You can check it out. It's the most expensive breakout diamond website in the world. So I will introduce some new ideas to you. I'm hoping they'll start a fight in your own head. Okay? It's uncomfortable, by the way. Okay? To have a fight going on in your mind between the way you used to do things and the new way of doing things. There will be doubt. There will be conflict. There will be tension. Where? In your own mind. Okay? If I do my job well in these 3 nights, you will go home totally confused and conflicted. Okay? Because there will start an argument in your own head. I'm trying to start a fight in your own head. And that's what I want to happen. And I want to give you, there's a meditation tool that we are trained in the monastery of observing the fight in your own head. Okay? It's called Maha Mudra. Say Maha.
Maha.
Mudra.
Mudra.
Maha. You guys are. You guys are not Maha. Let's try it again. Be a little more, you know, peppy. Maha.
Maha.
Yeah, Mudra.
Mudra.
Okay. So Maha Mudra is the name of a special meditation that's, I don't know, it's 2,000 years old. There's even a corresponding yoga series called Maha Mudra. And there's a way to do a certain kind of yoga that brings up a certain kind of thinking. But I'm going to teach you the thinking part, okay? We are going to do yoga tomorrow and the next day in the morning. If you're interested, you can come. You can learn some Maha Mudra yoga. It's a kind of yoga that stimulates the thoughts that I'm going to teach you. So it's a physical practice that helps get the argument started in your own mind. Okay? It will increase the tension in your mind. And it will make the war more intense. Okay? If you also do the physical exercises which cause that kind of thinking. All right? And that's something that we are trained in the monastery. Okay? So what I have two goals in these 3 days. One is introduce a virus of a new kind of thinking in your head. And then I want to start a war in your own mind, of two ways of thinking of how to get stuff. or two ways of thinking of the world. I say my way is better. I worked 3 days a week, 6 months a year, and made $250 million income. Okay, got it? Okay, why? Because I know how to plan. And you don't have to work so hard. Like, you don't have to live like that. You can take your life back. You can take your time back. And you can have you can do other things with your time that you enjoy. And you don't have to work like that. And it's certain. It's not like going to the forest and hoping you run into some rats. It's you just plant the seed and you relax and the checks come. Okay, really? I'm not kidding. Okay? Same with the relationships. Same with your weight. Same with your health. All of them you can do. It's a kind of planting. So I have two goals. I want to introduce a new way of thinking in your head, and I want tension to stop. And I want you to start getting really, like, walking around like, whoa. Am I supposed to be thinking like that, or am I supposed to be thinking like that, you know? Then I want to introduce a second thing, which is called Mahamudra. Mahamudra means to observe yourself having the conflict. Okay, Mahamudra is the capacity to watch your own mind. Okay, so I want to teach you ways of being more aware of your own mind thinking, alright? And it should be that your own mind is having a, what do you call it? Tension, or some kind of conflict in your own mind. So I'm gonna introduce conflict into your mind, and then I'm gonna teach you how to enjoy watching the conflict. Okay? Which are both Mahamudra. That's Mahamudra. Okay? It's a very, very holy practice. Okay? If I say, look, there's a new way to run your life. That's good. That's helpful. I can get up for 3 days and teach you a new way to run your life. Okay? But then I'm gonna teach you a way to track how your mind thinks about that. So that your mind doesn't get beat by the old way of thinking. Got it? So there's an old way of thinking. And if I just give you 3 nights of teaching and you go home and that's it, the old kind of thinking is going to beat the new kind of thinking and you'll forget everything in 6 months. And then you'll be back to pulling rice stalks in the forest. Maybe you'll be successful in your life, maybe not. You know, maybe you'll be healthy, maybe not. Maybe you'll have a nice partnership, maybe not. Okay? You'll go back to the old system. So I have two jobs. Teach you a new way of thinking, and then teach you how to watch how that seed is growing in your mind and protect it. From whom? The old way of thinking. Okay. All right? We're trying to introduce a new way of thinking. We want to start a fight, and then we're going to give you tools to watch the fight. So that you don't get beat up so bad. Alright? Okay. That's called Dangzin Shandep, and that's the name of this book. Okay? Who wrote this book? First of all, it's poetry. It's, in English, it's gonna come out to about 300 pages of poetry. Okay? In the translation. Alright? It was written, 400 years ago. By a lama named Panchen Lama. Okay. Say Panchen.
Panchen
Lama.
Lama.
Okay. So in Tibet, there's two big reincarnated lamas. There's the Dalai Lama, and there's the Panchen Lama. And then it used to kind of work out kind of conveniently that when the Dalai Lama passed away, the Panchen Lama was in his 20s, and then he would take over. And then when he got old and passed away, the new Dalai Lama would be like in his 20s. And it used to go very, very sweetly like that, you know? And they would sort of alternate in Tibet between the Panchen Lama and the Dalai Lama. In modern times, the current Dalai Lama has been expelled, you know, he had to run from Tibet. The current Panchen Lama, there's a disagreement about who is the current Panchen Lama. The government of China declared one person the new Panchen Lama. The monks of his monastery declared another boy Panchen Lama, and that boy was put under arrest. And he's disappeared. We don't know where he is. It's been, I don't know, almost 15 years. Oh, he's probably in his early 20s, something. But we don't even know if he's alive. Okay? So that's the Panchen Lama. We're going to be studying a text by the first Panchen Lama. Okay? And his name was Tse Lobsang.
Losan.
Chuki.
Chuki.
Gelsen.
Gelsen.
Losan.
Losan.
Chuki.
Chuki.
Gelsen.
Gelsen.
You make me sleepy, just looking at you. I didn't even start talking yet, you're sleepy. You guys know who Losan is, right? I mean, he was given the name of the teacher of the first synagogue. But he was born 1570. And he died, he passed away in 1662. He lived to the age of 92 in a country where the average age was 40. Okay? Why? We believe in karma. We believe that what you do affects your life, how long you live, many things. He was a very, very wonderful poet. He was maybe the greatest poet of Tibet. He was an incredible philosopher. He was a brilliant writer. He was a dance master. I've studied his dance texts in Mongolia, and very beautiful. We were trained by a master, a dance master, who kept his system in Mongolia. And I think what's kind of cool is that he was a pacifist. He was a very strict pacifist, and in his time, there was a war. Two armies came to Lhasa. They were going to kill each other. And he said, that's not acceptable. And they said, what are you going to do about it? And on the day that they were supposed to fight and the lines were drawn up, it's like the Gita, right? He walked out between the lines. And he said, if you're going to fight, you have to kill me first. You know? And he's this big mama, you know? And then everybody was afraid to kill him. And then he said, also, I'll pay both of the generals generous sums of money from my personal... Okay? He basically bribed the two generals. And he stopped the war. He saved tens of thousands of lives. I think that's maybe why he lived so long. But he's a very, very beautiful lama. And his teachings are extraordinary. Very, very beautiful. So he wrote a book called An Argument in One Person's Mind Between New Understanding and Old Understanding. Okay? Got it? He said, the angel meets the devil. And he's saying that your old way of thinking is like the devil. Okay? Which is very, very extreme, right? I mean, you're kind of like, want to tell him, just chill out a little bit, you know? My mind is not a devil. I mean, maybe it's not perfect, but, you know, my current way of thinking is not demonic. You know, like we never do rituals or anything, you know? And he would say, no, your current way of thinking will kill you. Okay? Your current way of thinking will kill you. You will walk through the forest. You will try to get success in your life. You will try to have a relationship. Ultimately, you will fail and you will die. It will kill you. That way of thinking will kill you. It is demonic. It's maybe the most demonic thing in the world. In a world where you could plant rice and feed your children and have no concerns about their safety and their life, to struggle to keep that old thinking and demand that people should wander through the forest hoping to find some rice is demonic. You see? He's saying that's the devil. If there's a way to plant money, to plant health, to plant partnerships, relationships, marriages, and you didn't learn it, if you couldn't grasp it, or if that new way of thinking were defeated in your own mind, then that's demonic. See? Got it? Who's the devil? It's the old way of thinking, okay? It's nothing worse. There's nothing worse. If there's a way of thinking that could feed your family perfectly and give you half your life back, then it's demonic to keep doing the old thing. You see what I mean? So it is the devil. It really is the devil. Okay? So he made a recording of the devil in his own head, arguing with the angel in his own head. Right? And the devil was old way of thinking, and the angel was the new way of thinking. And he recorded it in poetry, and it's exquisite. Okay, it's really exquisite. I'm going to give you a really brief, just in case people leave in the break. I want to plant the seed now. Okay, I'm going to plant the angel in your head now. Are you ready? It's a viral implant in your mind. Really, you will never be able to give it up. Once you hear it, you can't totally give it up. All right? You can leave and you cannot come back, but you will always doubt. Okay? Seriously. Okay? So I'm going to introduce a new idea to start the fight. And then we'll go to the text, then we'll follow the text, okay? But I'm going to start the fight now. Okay? I'm introducing a virus, and it's like, what do you call it? An infection or something where the blood cells rush and try to push it out. What do you call that? It's like when an antibody, what do you call it? A foreign germ or something comes into the bloodstream, and then all the defenses of the body gather together to try to push it out, right? I'm introducing the virus into your bloodstream. And then your old way of thinking will try to push it out, you see? Your antiviral thinking bodies will rush to the scene of the new idea and try to shove it out of your mind, or at least get you not to think about it. Okay? They want to avoid a war. Why? They must lose. The old way of thinking must lose. Okay? You can't look at a whole yard full of rice plants and go back out in the forest looking for one. Once you've seen it, the old way of thinking is doomed. You see what I mean? Once you've seen a whole yard planted with rice, you know, you're sold. You just want to know how to do it. You see what I mean? Once this kind of thinking takes root, even in a little way in your mind, you can't go back. You will never go back. Okay? Even if you want to go back. But who would want to go back? Anyway, okay, here we go, real fast. Okay? This is the injection of the virus. And if you saw it before, learn how to teach it. Okay. What is this thing? It's a pen. Okay. If a dog comes in the room, if a dog walks in that door, comes down the aisle, and I, you know, what do you call it? Squat down and I wave this thing in front of the dog, what will the dog do? The dog will chew it, okay? The dog will chew it. Does the dog see it as a pen? What does the dog see it as? You can say a chew toy or something, okay? Right, Max? He's not even listening. By the way, this is the system in Tibet. They ask you questions, you know? Who's right, the dog or the person?
Both.
You can say both. It's not animal rights, right? It's not unreasonable. I'm not asking, by the way, the whole 3 days, I'm not selling Buddhism, I could care less. I don't have any Buddhist pictures in my house. I have one Tara because I think she's cute. Okay? And I'm not trying to sell you on Buddhism. I don't care what you are, you can be whatever you want. I just don't want you to wander around the forest picking plants, you know, when you don't have to. Okay? Then you do whatever, you go to whatever place you want to from your church. You know, I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. I'm not trying to sell you Dalai Lama or anything. I just want you to learn a new way of doing things and then make you happy. Okay? So anyway, what do we mean? Oh. Who's right? Both. Okay? Now, next question. I go over here. I put the black object here. All the humans leave the room. All the dogs leave the room. Which one is it then?
Neither.
I think you can say neither. Some people might say neither. Okay. I grew up with neither, personally. There's a few Australians or something. At that time, it's neither. Okay? At that time, it's neither. By the way, if you care, and I'm not going to push it now because I don't want to get you confused. If you care, that's the Buddhist idea of emptiness. That's all. That's all emptiness means in Buddhism. Left to itself, nobody else around, this thing is neither. And that's what emptiness is. Don't worry about it now, I'm just planting a virus. Okay? Now, next question for you. If I see a pen, is the pen, you can show me with your hand, okay, ready? Is the pen coming this way, or is the pen coming this way? Is it coming from its side, or is it coming from me? It must be from me. It must be from me. Why? If it was a pen coming this way, then the dog would see a pen. It's a no-brainer. Then the dog would try to, you gotta get this joke, okay? The dog would try to write something, right? And the dog would write a poem, I suppose. I think it's a love poem to his dog girlfriend that you have a nice tail. So, what it means is the pen is not coming this way, okay? It's coming this way, okay? It's a matter of perception, right? What you see is coming from your mind. It's not coming from the object, okay? If an Eskimo came in here from the 18th century, you know, they also wouldn't see a pen, right? It's coming from our mind, okay? Now the next question, the big question is, why? Why do I see a pen, and why doesn't the dog see a pen? And in this tradition we say, because you have a seed in your mind to see a pen. There's a small seed deep in your mind. I go, whoop, and the seed, in a microsecond, the seed opens in your mind, and it presents a picture to your own mind. A seed opens in your mind, and it presents a picture to your mind as if the picture was coming from there. And it's a picture of a pen. Okay? That's all. There's something in your mind, a seed, something opens in your mind in a second when I hold up. Ready? Here we go. Then, during that second, a seed opens in your mind, it passes out, and it turns around, and you think it's a pen. Okay? That's all. That's what happens. If that's true, you could design your future. Just get used to the idea. It's exciting, okay? If that's true, I'm talking rice firing here, okay? If that's true, and if you knew how to plant a seed purposely, you could change the objects in your future. You could make a $250 million company. I think the annual sales for my company are roughly equal to the economy of the county I live in. I'm not in a big county, okay? But what I'm saying is you could design what's happening. See, you could be like a rice farmer instead of wandering around hoping something good's gonna happen. Got it? How? Let's start with a pen. Let's start with something basic, okay? How would you plant a seed in your mind that's gonna, when I hold this thing up, suddenly it's gonna pop open and you think you see a pen, okay? How would you do that? Are you ready? Are you ready? Oh, you just hold your hand up. Okay, so he needs a pen. He's about to sign an important contract. He's a lawyer. He just lost his pen. He doesn't sign it in the next 3 minutes. He loses $10 million. You know, I have a pen. I'm like, okay, I'll give it to you. Out of the kindness of my heart. I reach down. This scene is being recorded by who? Yeah. By my own eyes and my own consciousness, okay? My eyes are watching my arm. And my mind is aware of my intention, which is kind and loving, okay? The kind and loving side and the action of giving him the thing he needs and wants, even though I love this man, okay? My mind is recording everything. My mind is recording the movement of the pen, of my hand, and my mind is recording my own love for him and my own concern for him. Okay? All those things are being recorded by my mind. Okay? And that plants a seed. Okay? In this system, you need other people who need something. Okay? In this system, you need other people who need something. You can't do it on your own. You cannot plant a seed. If I want pens in the future, I gotta look for someone who desperately needs a pen. Got it? Okay, I need you. Now we have a strategic alliance, you know? Like, I'm looking for someone who needs pens. I'm on the lookout for people who need pens. Why? I gotta plant a seed for pens. I want pens, okay? I must share the thing I want to get it. That's dumb, Bishop Michael. If you want the pen, just keep it. Why do you go through all this trouble? And just keep the one you have. Okay? Right? No, I mean, seeds grow bigger, okay? Seeds grow bigger. You plant one watermelon seed, you get this big fat thing. And inside there's 500 more seeds, which you have to spit out. Okay? So, it's better to, if you had one watermelon seed, it would be better to plant it than to eat it. Got it? Because then you could make a watermelon that had 500 more seeds in it. And then you could plant them. Got it? So if you wanted to make $250 million, or you wanted to find a beautiful partner, or you had a gout in your foot when you were born and you couldn't walk and you wanted to do ballet the rest of your life, you could do it by planting seeds. Okay? You would become... By the way, the virus is almost there. Okay? Yeah. you could determine the rest of your life. You could determine what you want the rest of your life. Anything. Partner. You could fix your current partner. You could upgrade them. You could have enough. I like to call it oxygen money. You just have enough money. You don't care about money. You just have it. You know? Like, okay, how much money I have? I don't know. Do you have enough to get everything you want? Yeah. You want anything else? Not really. You know? And the bills are covered and you don't own anything. And you have everything. And there's more coming in and you give it away. Okay? Like that. Okay? Like, life should be like that. You shouldn't be wandering around looking for one rice farm. That's how you're living. Really. Now I put this huge doubt in your mind. Right? I just threw into doubt your whole life. Your whole way of living. And that's exactly what my job was. I threw into doubt the whole way that your civilization lives its life. Globally. I'm proposing that 6 billion people are wandering around the forest unnecessarily. Okay? And they could just all be comfortable and have Mercedes and there could be no war and no hunger. You see? And I just put a really big, what do you call it? Conflicted thing in your head. Okay? I say it's possible that everyone could have what they want, be as healthy as they want. There could be no war, no hunger. It just changed the way it seemed. Okay? Just learn how to do this thing properly. There's technique involved, okay? You can't just give away pens and expect pens. You can't throw watermelon seeds everywhere and, you know, like it's not gonna work here. You gotta know that. There's certain places if you give away pens, you're not gonna get anything. And there's certain places you can be generous and nothing will happen if you don't know what you're doing. Okay? Alright? So the purpose of this class is to get you to understand how to do it, alright? So I just put a virus in your mind for a new way of doing things, which is in conflict with the way you used to think, alright? I want you to do that. Okay? And I want you to observe your own mind doubting. Okay? Now I want you to step back. Now step back a little bit and look at your own thoughts. Are they slightly conflicted? Like, are you thinking maybe you wasted your whole life up to now? There's this kooky guy up there. He makes millions and millions of dollars. He doesn't do anything. You know? Did I at least create a little conflict? Like a little doubt about the old way you used to do things. A little bit? Now watch it. Okay? Learn to watch your mind. Got it? Right now, watch your head. Right now, watch your head. Is it true? You're thinking, is it true what he said? Or do they have good refreshments? And that's bad news, okay? They didn't allow us. Anyway. Watch your own mind doubting what you used to do already. And I put a doubt in your mind and it's never going to go away. Okay? It's never going to go away. You can go. You can not come back after the break, even today or the next day. But you will always doubt. Okay? I put a seed of doubt in your mind. It will never go away. To your dying day, you will doubt. Okay? Some guy stood up there. He hates business. He doesn't care about anything without stuff. And somehow he made it happen. Fastest growing company in the history of New York, okay? There's something weird going on. And that's what I want. Now I want you to step back and watch your mind down. Are you doing it right now? Step back and watch your own mind down. Got it? Not if you got it. Okay? Your mind is watching your own mind doubt what you used to do. Got it? Okay, that's my mudra. Okay? And that argument that I just started in your head, that's the whole book. That's the whole subject of this book. That's all we're going to talk about. We wanted to start a fight inside your head, and I want you to learn to watch it. Because it's a precious fight, and it's...
It's the ice machine.
It's the ice machine. Okay. It's a valuable and a precious thing. And I want you to watch the fight in your mind. Because if you stop watching it, the old way will win. For a while. Okay? You gotta tune into your own mind doubting the way you used to think. Got it? That's the observation of the war between the rice farmer thought and the, what do you call it, gatherer. The old caveman gatherer mentality. Caveman gatherer mentality called working is facing up against farming mentality. And they're going to punch it out. And that's the subject of this book. Okay, got it? Whew. Okay, now we can start the book. The very first line, which you'll see on page one, I hope. What does it say? I bow down to my Lama, angel and angels. Yeah, okay? So the first line of the book is I bow down to my Lama, angel and angels. And this is a custom. By the way, if you don't have a reading, can you raise your hand? If you need a reading, can you raise your hand? Okay. Keep it up if you want to get a reading. In our tradition, you always honor your teacher. The one who gave you the, what do you call it, the virus. Okay, ever after in your life when you are reaping the results of learning to farm. You know, like you're relaxed, you're sitting in your house, you're all relaxed, everyone else is out working like a madman. And we're just signing the checks and depositing them. And then you think about your teacher and you say, God bless you, you know, thank you. So that's all. That's a tradition in this lineage, which is of the Dalai Lamas. You always thank your teacher first, because they're the one who put the virus in your head. You thank the person who put the virus in your head. I thank the person who put the virus. Right now, I thank the person who put the virus in my head, and I love my teacher. And you know, that's the happiest thing in my life. You know, your relationship with your virus giver, very nice, very sweet. Okay. Then the first Panchen Lama is gonna talk about three kinds of Mahamudra, okay? This first few pages are a little hard. Don't space out on me, okay? You can space out during the non-refreshment break. Alright? By the way, really, we wanted to bring all this stuff and they said, okay, it's against the policy. Then we started going all bit and they said, no, that's against the policy. We said, but, and they said, that's against the policy also. So anyway.
They ordered some.
We did? Oh yeah, okay. We got extorted. Alright. Anyway, there are refreshments. Yay. Space out during refreshments, okay? The next part's a little hard. Alright? But you gotta know it if you want the virus to grow. Alright? If you wanna have a good fight in your head by the time you Sunday evening comes around, you gotta catch this part, okay? Mahamudra means watching your mind, okay? We said that already. The ability to watch your own mind doubt the way you used to live is Mahamudra, okay? The ability to watch the fight in your own mind is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful skill to learn to be aware of your own thoughts as if you were just observing them, okay? And in this case, it's not thoughts about, you know, are they serving cookies or are they serving Twinkies, you know? It's like, in this case, what you're observing in your own mind is which way of living is better.
Should I stick with looking for single stalks in the forest, or should I go over to this new system and kick dirt on all the pens I have and hope new pens are going to come? Should I give away my favorite pen on this theory that 100 pens might come next month? That took a lot of courage, right? Throw good rice on the ground, cover it with dirt, on the chance that we might get more next month. I'm asking you to give away the things you want. I was giving this talk in China like a month ago, in Guangzhou, and this lady, you know, wait a minute. And she's like, why is that? I said, what? She says, I come here to learn to make money, not give it away. I said, no, you don't understand. We have to be the one to get out of here, you know? And she, it didn't work. But anyway, there wasn't much fight going on in that money. So you got to have this capacity to watch your mind, and what do you call it? We did a crazy thing this year. I haven't seen a Super Bowl in 30 years or something. And we're all like Buddhist yogis, and we're all like, hey, why don't we watch the Super Bowl for fun? And they're like, yeah. Then we said, who's got a TV? And everybody's like, so then we said, let's rent a hotel room. And you and there, we said, let's go watch Super Bowl in a hotel room. So we all got the pictures, and we said, we're going to be real Americans, you know? And we all sat there, and we all got this terrible headache. But we were watching the battle, you know? And there's something, what do you call it? Compelling about it. I mean, it really is fun. You know, you're like, come on, you're going to throw them off, do it! Mahamudra means the capacity to watch that game in your own mind and to cheer for the new ideas. You see what I mean? If you stop watching, the old ideas will take over again, unknown to you. You will never know. You'll just keep wandering to the forest and you will die. Before you reach what you were hoping to reach, you will get old and you'll die. Because it doesn't work. It doesn't work to walk to the forest. Sooner or later you get old and you die. Maybe you make some money, maybe you don't. When you die, it's all gone anyway. Okay, this is different. This is very interesting. This is the same as this. The way you see this is the same as the way you see death. Where this flesh is coming from is where? To see it as flesh is coming from where? To see it as a pen is coming from where? These are the same. These are the same. We're not just talking money or pens. Mortality also comes this way. And maybe that's a mistake of rice stock gatherers also. Maybe mortality, death, war, hunger in the whole world, maybe that's also an old way of thinking. And maybe you could even change that. Okay? Because this too is coming from you. Okay? All things are coming from you. Okay? So that's very, what do you call it? The potential is very interesting. Okay? For what could happen in the world. From this new way of thinking. But we gotta plan it in your head. And then we have to, what do you call it? Monitor the fight. We need a referee, which is called Mahamudra. He's gonna watch the game and make sure it doesn't get too nasty. Alright? You've got to develop the ability to watch your own mind, doubt your old way of living. Got it? That's the whole game. That's what we're doing. We're watching the Super Bowl between the old way of thinking and the new way of thinking. Okay? How old is the old way of thinking? When did it start in your own mind? You could say it started when you were born or you were brought up in school and they said, the only way to get rice, Johnny, walk to the forest. Look for a plant. Hope you find one, because if you don't, you're dead. Okay? Alright? Now you grew up. They taught you that. You know? Try to find a job. Try to find a partner. They use the word find. They didn't say, make yourself a good partner. They didn't say, make yourself some money. Create money. They didn't say that, right? They said, we'll teach you the best way to try to find a partner. They didn't say, Johnny, make a list of what you want in a partner, and then just make them like Bride of Frankenstein, you know? Like, you make them. you make what you want, you see? We don't say that, right? Even in our, we don't have vocabulary in English to say, I feel lonely. Well, why don't you make yourself a partner? You know, just rip one up. You know, like, make a list of what you want and then do the, plant the seeds and then you got one. You got what you want. It's so nice. Like, if they're, like, irritating, you can just weed that out. You see? Really? No, you laugh because you think it can't be done. You laugh because you're used to hoping they'll change. You're wandering to the forest of relationships, you know, hoping they'll change. By what? I don't know. You know? And I'm proposing you can just plant a change in them. And change them. If something about your partner irritates you, for God's sake, just unplant it. And they'll change. You see? Now I put another doubt in your mind. First you're wondering, oh, the guy, if he's right about work, then I've wasted my whole career. And then now I put a new doubt in your mind. Man, I could have fixed my last partner. You know, I don't have to be paying alimony on that. You know? No, that's what I'm saying. I just started another conflict in your mind. You should be very conflicted when you get home. And then watch it like the Super Bowl. Okay? Learn to watch it. And that's what I'm looking at. Okay? We say your mind came from another mind that existed before you came into your mother's womb. We say that mind is a stream that goes back earlier than your conception in this life. Okay? We believe that. I'm not going to try to prove it to you tonight. It would take too long and it's not where we're here. We say your mind existed before and it was in a stream and it was never interrupted. And you have lived countless times. And that mind has streamed on through different bodies for millions of years, okay? On many worlds. And you have been many, many things. And you have worn many bodies like a pair of clothes and you have taken them off and put on a new pair. Countless times, okay? Is the way you experience your own mind like the way you experience the pen? Are your own thoughts also coming this way? What do you think? Do you experience your thoughts? Where are they coming? Are they possibly coming from how you acted towards others in the past? Is it possible you're just witnessing your thoughts? Are you saying the thoughts or are you listening to them? Now I got you to doubt your own mind. This Super Bowl is getting very complicated. Is it possible that by, for example, helping someone else to learn, you could increase your own intelligence? Is it possible that by helping someone else to learn, you could consciously increase your own capacity to think? You see? Could you plant a seed in your mind to experience that mind as more intelligent in 6 months from now? Is it possible? Or more loving, you see? Is it possible to plant certain seeds in your mind that make you experience your own mind as more loving in 6 months? See? Can you rice farm your own mind? Is that cool? That farmability of your own mind is called Mahamudra of the way things always were. Okay, I don't want to overwhelm you. Okay. It's called the Mahamudra that you've had ever since. Ever since never. Ever since always. Ever since always, your mind, how you experience your own head, has been coming from you. If you were kind to others and tried to help them learn things, you experienced your own mind as more intelligent. If you encouraged your children to be more compassionate, you experienced your own mind as more compassionate. Okay? Your mind is also coming this way. Okay? Got it? Your mind is also coming this way. That's one meaning of Mahamudra. Okay? In the moment of your death,
You have a face-to-face vision with your mind. You, in the moment of any person's death, what people call clear light, in that moment, you have a deep insight into your own mind. It lasts maybe a minute or 2 minutes, okay? In the moment of your death, when you experience this big halo and something, because of the death process, you have an insight into the nature of your mind for a few minutes, okay? And then you lose it. And then you die, and you're gone again, okay? It also happens during orgasm, right? For a few seconds, your mind is totally open, and you can experience things that you can see, you have the potential to see things that you couldn't see before. During death, and during the heights of that experience. It has to do with the opening of the chakras, okay? A meditator, a person who's trained well, can bring on that experience purposely. Sitting on a chair, okay? They can open their mind in the same way that it opens as death, at death. And that's called the practice of Mahamudra. Mahamudra as it's practiced. So now we got two kinds of Mahamudra. One is Mahamudra as it has always been in your own mind. One is Mahamudra as you practice it in this life. And then there's Mahamudra that you, the results of Mahamudra. You get some spiritual experiences, high spiritual experiences. That's called result Mahamudra. It's called the path of seeing. Okay? You see ultimate reality directly. That was more than you should have had in the first page. I'm sorry. If you can't process it right now, don't worry about it. It's not where I want to go, and it's not what you're going to get quizzed on. Well, maybe it is. All I wanted to get to before the break is someplace else. If you practice ways on a cushion to meditate, and bring into your own mind this virus in the way it's experienced in this very, very deep spiritual state at the moment that you die, okay? If you can learn to replicate on a chair the state of mind that comes to every person when they die, you can actually see how the universe works, okay, directly. And then you can, you know, you want $1 million, you just go dick, dick, dick. You want a beautiful partner, dick, 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 dick. You know, I had a crippled leg. I do ballet now. I'm 100 years old. I got the lady up last year, okay? And she was big. You can, there's a crucial point called tonglen, right? Prophecy. There's a critical, what do you call it? What do you call that? Breakthrough experience. There's another word for that.
Epiphany.
Huh?
Epiphany.
Threshold experience? Yeah. Where you have a breakthrough and you see how reality works. And then you're like, what's a guy Keanu Reeves, the bad actor, in that movie Matrix? They shoot a gun at him and he sees into the program and he goes, beep, beep, beep. And then he stops the bullets, right, with his hand. You can do that. You can do weird stuff. So there's a point in your understanding where you can do that, all right? What are you going to do with that knowledge? You know, what are you going to rob a bank without being caught? Or, you know, when you see ultimate reality, when you meet God face to face, what do you do with that, okay? In this tradition, you use it to remove your negative states of mind. You use it to remove your negative emotions forever. If you could tweak reality, oh, you could make some money or you could change your health. But you could also remove from your own mind all the unhappiness. Click, 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 click. Now, ding! What's that called in Buddhism? It's called Nirvana. That is Nirvana. Wait, remove your anger forever. Remove your jealousy forever. Okay? That's all. It's not possible. Okay, you're going to wait for a minute for your refreshment. I'm sorry. I got to put this virus in case you need it. If I want a pen, I have to
give a pen.
I must give a pen. I must plant a seed in my mind for then, because the seed will open and I will see a pen. Okay? And not a
beagle.
If I hear Jujoy, I'm in trouble. Because that means I'm also barking. Got it? Seriously. Okay? Mm-hmm. What if I want to see my husband differently? What if my husband, like, never affectionate from me? Okay? I'm just giving you an example. We hold business seminars around the world. Last year we visited Hamburg, Vienna, Paris, Oslo. We did a program for British here in London, Taiwan, Singapore, Jakarta, etc. I don't know. We forgot where we were. And we have business seminars, and we meet with the people in small groups between the seminars so they can tell us about their business problems. The first person in the group says, I have a business problem. My employees are not working hard. Then we go into how to plant the seed to get the employees to work hard. Then the second person says, can I ask a different question? You say, what? I say, my husband never hugs me. Can you change that? Can you plant a seed for that? And then forget it. Then the business thing goes down the drain. The whole 3-day seminar is like, oh, my husband doesn't take out the garbage. What's this? I'm not kidding. So we were talking about a positive seed. I want a pen in my future. I want 100 pens in my future, okay? But what if I want my husband to be more affectionate? What if I want something? What if I want to take away a quality? What if I want something not to happen? I don't want my husband to be, what do you call it? He comes in on like this and he goes to his computer and, you know, and he goes like this and it's to email. That's his email thing. You know? Someone's hurting me, how can I change that? Then you unplant the seed. Okay? You have to pull the seed out. You have to pull the seed out like that. If you can pull out enough seeds, nothing ever bad happens to you again, and you don't have any negative thoughts in your mind again. You reach nirvana, and that's total happiness, and your mind is always happy. You never get angry, you never get jealous, you never want a bag of Pringles after you've already had a bag of Pringles. You know, like that. All desires, all stupid desires, all stupid anger, all jealousy is there. Your mind is clean from those things, okay? If you see the nature of your mind, you can clean it. And then something cool happens. Okay, last thing before you refresh. Your mind gains the ability to see all things at all times. You can watch Abraham Lincoln get assassinated. You can watch the first rice farmer wrestle with the dinosaur. You know, you can look ahead and see the lottery numbers 500 years from now. Okay? You can do, your mind now has that capacity. You can split your body into 1,000 bodies of light, and you can be at the bedside of 1,000 sick people and serve them all at the same time. Okay? And that's what you really want to do. Okay? You think you want money, but it's not true. Or sex. What you really want to do is be able to split your body into like 1,000 bodies of light and care for 1,000 sick children at the same time. Okay? Like that's a worthy way, that's a worthy, what do you call it? Goal for your life. That capacity, that ability. It's possible. You can do it. Okay? It's possible. But you must start thinking the new way. Okay? You can change this out of flesh into light. And you can split it into 1,000. And you can serve 1,000 sick children at the same time. You have the capacity now. It's just covered. Okay? And that's what you really want. That's what would really make you happy. It's nice to have a car. It's nice to have a house. But they don't, to serve thousands of people at the same time, that would make you really happy. That you'd be happy all the time. That's what you, in your heart, that's what you really want. Okay? That's the progression. If you start thinking rice farming way, it ends in the body, a splittable light body. You can help thousands of people at the same time. That's where this conversation ends. Okay? You ready?
But even when you get there, will that body of light be coming this way or this way? Even when you get there, yeah, go ahead, don't be ashamed. Do it. Yeah. It's nice to see like 1,000 Chinese people going around. Okay? It's, even if you get there, that will be coming from you. Okay? You will have designed it, and you will have executed the plan, and you will have a body of light, and you will be an angel, and you will look like an angel. And it will be coming from you. Okay? Because that's the only way you can do it. Okay? And it will be real. Alright? But you cannot get there if you still entertain the old way of thinking. Okay? If you still believe that your body is coming this way. Got it? If you still believe it's not coming from you, you'll never get there. Okay? You'll never get there. So what must we do? We must remove from the mind the other team in the Super Bowl. Okay? All thoughts that things are coming this way have to be, what do you call them? You know, you gotta push them out of your skull. There must be a fight. There must be a Super Bowl game. And in the end, the old way of thinking must go. Got it? Feel it? If you want refreshments, you gotta feel it. Okay, the old way of thinking must go. Okay? Got it? That's the opening pages of this book. I just finished. Okay? Wisdom. Who is the angel? Wisdom means understanding this is coming from me. Sorry. understanding that this is coming from me comes out to the old on this way of doing things and says, you ready? You don't have that. This town ain't big enough to go to the lodge.
I got it.
We found the original. It's a 1932 movie, okay? This town ain't big enough for both of us, and I ain't leaving. You know? So the new way of thinking goes, this town ain't big enough for both of us, meaning your head, and you're leaving. Okay? And now the fight begins, and now the book begins. Okay? And it's so beautiful, because the devil is not stupid. The devil is sophisticated. The devil is slick and convincing and persuasive and smart and clever. So it's going to be a nice punch out to watch him. Okay? We just started the book. Understanding said to the devil, what?
This town.
There ain't room in this head for both of us. And I ain't leaving. You know? Did you find it? Okay, then you can watch it. Did you find it?
Yep.
I don't know. I told him to find it, but he thought he got it. What
is it? Close switches.
Not sound.
There ain't room in this town for both of us. Anyway, okay. Anyway, that's what he's talking about. Okay, a couple things. Have some nice refreshments. Are we?
Yeah.
We are? Yeah, okay. We are?
Yeah.
Have your refreshments. Are you charging? Good, okay. Pray with me. I'll be up here if you have a personal problem, you want to ask me something, get rid of X with your whatever, but you don't want to say it for everybody. I'll be up here, or if you just want to say hi, and then we'll start again in about 10-15 minutes. Okay, we'll start again. This whole text, I think it would be nice to, how do you say it? In my monastery, you don't take a teaching without thinking about passing it on to someone else yourself, okay? So the idea is that when you take a teaching like this, it's nice to take it with the idea of maybe passing it on to somebody else later. It could be in a formal talk. It could be at Starbucks. It could be in a yoga studio. It could be to a few of your friends at work. But the way that this particular lineage has been passed down for several thousand years is that each person in each audience took responsibility to pass it on. So I've designed it in such a way that is, what do you call it? Replicable? Okay? Except you gotta learn all the rice thing and everything, you know? But I, normally when I teach something, I try to teach it in such a way, or I try to design the course in such a way that you could teach it to somebody else. And I want that. It's my hope that you would pass it on to somebody else. And any time I give a teaching, usually I only give it once. And then I encourage the people in the audience who are interested to learn to pass it on to other people. Okay, and it could be in a formal course, or it could be just hanging out with people. Okay, so anyway, I like to leave you with the materials that you would have if you wanted to pass it on in a yoga studio or in a group of friends or in Starbucks. Okay. So I've designed, this course will take more than one weekend. My students, some of them have been around, been taking courses from me for 20 years, I don't know. Either they didn't learn anything or they just think it's fun to come. But anyway, they keep coming. And what I do is I design like homeworks. That you can self-test yourself, you know what I mean? So you would, I will give you a homework at the end of tonight, if you're interested, okay, don't stress out. Right? I had a guy in Boston, he said, we were in a small group, I taught the Wheel of Life, like 1990, and I said, everybody in the room has to do homework. And he looked at me and he said, I haven't done homework since I was in high school. And I said, well, if you want to stay in my class, you're doing homework. And he got very angry. And then he took it home and he said he wasn't going to do it. But then the next day he came back and he had it done. And then after the week was over, he thanked me. And 6 weeks later, I got a recording in the mail. He was a symphony composer. And he wrote a piece, like an adagio, about the Wheel of Life. And he said, thank you for making me do the homework, you know. And then he started teaching it to other people. It was very beautiful. So, the bottom line is, there are three homeworks if you're interested. I'll repeat tonight what's going to be on your homework. If you feel like doing it, you're welcome to do it. It'll be available at the... Where is Nicole? Huh? She's the homework meister. They could get it on the mail somewhere. It's just like 5 questions. It's so you can check yourself to see if you understand it. Okay? If you like, and if you have time, tomorrow at... What time? Okay, so there's a study group. If you want to come and do your homework with other people, you're welcome to do that. The schedule's in the back of your manual. And I actually, if you do the homework, I ask you to do it with somebody else. And I ask you to do it with somebody that you don't know. All right? And then everybody goes, I don't want to meet anybody I don't know. And then I kind of push the issue. And then people come. Come tomorrow at what time is the first study session?
There's one after the hearing at 11:30.
One at 11:30?
And then there'll be
another
at 1:15 after
that. Is it here?
It's in
Paradise Cafe in Tempe.
The address is in your book.
The address is in your book. If you... No, I like the Paradise. Paradise is better. If you want to do the whole spiel and you want to learn to teach this thing, I ask you to go to Paradise Cafe tomorrow. Meet the people there. You work on your homework together. You have a teaching assistant, you have a TA. They'll give you the answer, you write it out. And you meet the other people in the class, and maybe you start to, I don't know, like somebody came to last class from Argentina, and then another person came from Australia, and they met each other in Paradise. And then the person from Australia went to Argentina, and they taught it together. And then they both went to Australia and taught it together. And so that's the kind of thing that can happen. Some kind of, what do you call it? Cross-cultural thing. Cool stuff can happen if you come. Okay? Like you might meet some new friends, and it's cool. It's fun. You don't have to, it's just if you want to. I would encourage you to learn to teach it. And if you fill out the three homeworks, so you'll get a homework tonight, you'll get a homework tomorrow night, and you'll get a homework after Sunday afternoon, which you can fill out at home, and then you send it in, and we'll give you a certificate. I think we give you a certificate in advance, trusting that you'll finish the third homework. So basically, you just have to finish the first two homeworks, and you can cheat us and get a certificate. But then we encourage you to teach it. Okay? So it's a very beautiful thing. It's a very precious thing. And in my experience, everybody can teach. And, you know, the people in our group who are teaching, we have 134 graduate teachers who finished 7 years. Many of them did 5 years before that. And they're very beautiful teachers around the world. They're teaching thousands of people, and it's fun. So you learn it, you do the homeworks, you meet with the people, and then you can teach it your own way, but you'll have the materials, you'll have the translation. It's the first translation, I believe, into English. Then you'll have the homework, and then you can have your own mini course at your church or at your yoga studio or wherever you want. And it's fun. And people do that. My friends always do that after a class. So I finish on Sunday. Then there's this diaspora. They all go home to their own cities. And they teach. And it's really beautiful. And it's exciting. And then this ancient wisdom will spread. So you're kind of at the, what do you call it? Ground zero of this text. This is the first time this text has been taught in the West. And you could help teach. I think it's going to be a spiritual classic. I think it's going to be like Dante or something. You know, it's extraordinary. It's a very, very famous in Asia, but it's never been here. And just consider that you can teach it to others. You don't have to come to the study group. If you just want to finish your homework at home and bring it tomorrow evening, you can do that also. But you don't learn as much. Okay? Yes? Yeah, go ahead. Quickly.
Yeah, so
can you stand up if you stand up if you
can?
Stay standing. We'll also be doing a beginner's yoga tomorrow morning. Doing meditation, right? What time? It's on your schedule. There's a meditation tomorrow morning. You're welcome to come. We will practice this meditation. At 9:30 here, right? At 10:30 there will be a beginning yoga. If you never did yoga before, if you hate yoga and you hate exercise, I'm the teacher, and I hate it also. There's a special 1,000-year-old yoga. It's very gentle, it's very fast, it's relatively painless, and it will make you thin and strong and give you good energy and young. And so I do it every day, even though I hate it. And I can teach you to do it and hate it also. We'll just be doing it. It's like a half hour. We can do it before work. You feel very young. You feel strong. You lose 30 pounds. Okay. If you've done yoga before and you want a little more challenging yoga, at 11:30 we have a guest teacher, Vanessa Lee, who's a very fine teacher from Phoenix. And I'll be going to that class as a student. Then at 2:30 tomorrow we have an impossibly difficult text about emptiness. If you wish to get more confused, you can do that. It's mostly a commitment that I made to some people 8 years ago. We've been working on that text for 8 years. We are less than a quarter of the way through. But it's a beautiful text it's an advanced text about emptiness. So if you want to get more confused, you can come to that. And at 7 o'clock tomorrow, we'll continue this text, okay? Which you won't get too confused, okay? All right, you're welcome to come to all that, if all of it's for free, okay? There's no hidden, what do you call it? We don't like steal your wallet the last night anymore. Okay, and I'd like to thank, there were many sponsors, some of whom are here, who took on the expense. This is pretty expensive, and we wanted to do a beautiful text in a beautiful space, and so they offered the cost of the text. So I'd like to thank them. I think they're a little shy to acknowledge them in front of everybody. But anyway, we'd like to thank you for that, and for the refreshments. Okay, we are going to do a little bit more, okay? Is that all right? Can you hang in there? All right. So I'm going to tell you what your homework questions are. Like, this is not like Mrs. Butt's class in the fifth grade. She wouldn't give us any homework questions. Anyway, I won't tell the word about her. So the first question is going to be, who wrote the book when you know it's the first pension mama? It's going to say, when was he born? 1570 to 1662. Then it's going to say, what did he do that was famous? And you can say, he was a great boy, and he was a great philosopher, and great thinker, and he stopped the war one single-handed, like Vietnam all by himself. All right, then the second question is going to be, what is Mahamudra? Basically, it's meditation on your own mind. It's the ability to watch your own mind in meditation. Then it's going to say, what is Mahamudra? That's always been there with you, and you're going to say, the fact that my own mind was coming from me all that time. And then it's going to say, what was the Mahamudra in practice? I shouldn't tell you all the answers. Your teaching assistant will help you. The third question is interesting because it goes, it says, how did the first Panchen Lama get into the argument? How did the argument actually start inside the guy's mind? And the first Panchen Lama was telling you, look, if you get the pen thing, it's the same as your arm. You know? Like, the reason you see your arm as flesh and blood and mortal is coming from you. And there's ways you can change that. You could change into an angelic form. Because it's coming from you. Okay? You could change things. But you can't change things if misunderstanding your arm remains inside your head. And then the angel goes like this, therefore, Mr. Devil, you must depart. Okay? Alright? That's how far we got. But you still got two homework questions I didn't cover. Alright? Here we go. Mr. Devil says, let's be reasonable. You know? I've been here a long time. You know? I've been your friend for countless lifetimes. The way I look at the world has been part of your mind for billions of lifetimes. You can't do without me. You know? You need me. How are you going to find rice without me? Got it? How are you going to go out in the forest and find rice without me? Okay? This is the devil. Okay? I'm the person who got you to get stuff. If it wasn't for me, you wouldn't want things. You know? How are you going to clothe yourself? How are you going to feed yourself? How are you going to have the most basic desires of a person if you ain't got the devil in your heart to get you up in the morning? You know? And to go after those things. Got it? He's taking credit for you wanting stuff, even reasonable one. You know, like, okay, it's, you should want underwear and clothes. I mean, it's normal. Okay, that's okay. And he's saying, without me, you wouldn't want anything. And without me, I mean, if you ran into something bad, you wouldn't know to punch the person or to yell back at them. I've been protecting you your whole life. You know, I've been your constant companion of the mind. You can't do without me. Then the homework question says, is that really true? Was it your desire to get things that enabled you to get things? Okay? Was it your attempts to acquire more pens that got you pens your whole life? He claims it is. The devil's taking credit. You never would have gotten any pens if it wasn't for me. I'm the one who makes you want pens. I'm the one who takes you to the store, who gets you to work, so you can make money and you can buy a pen. Because that's how you get pens. Without me, you wouldn't have a pen. What's the angel say? Get the devil's position. You got pens in your life because you went and got them. You got the money, you worked, you got the money, you went to the store, you acquired the pen. That's how if it wasn't for me, you never would have had pens. What's the angel say? You got it backwards, man. You got it backwards. The only way to get a pen is to, is to give a pen. In this system, we're talking rice farming. We are weirdos. You know? We're proposing that you throw the rice on the ground and get dirt on it, and you'll have rice next year. Okay? We're saying, you want more pens? Give them to others. It's totally weird. Yeah. Then the angel is saying, you've been messing with me all along. You told me I had to go to work, make the money, buy the pen, or fight Chinese, compete for the business, get the pens in the world, corner the pen market, you know? That's all that you did. And then I didn't get pens. The way you get a pen is you share a pen with somebody, and you plant a seed in your mind. And then you get pens for like 3 years. Get one pen, you get like 10 pens back. You know, so get this. The devil's taking credit for getting things. And the angel's saying, no, you were a rice, what do you call it? Gatherer. That ain't the way it works. You have to share to get. You have to give to get. The angel is like that, got it? Okay? Just nod your head, because you'll be able to go home if you keep nodding. Okay? Alright. That was the question number 1, 4, I think. Now, very cool part, especially for your elderly students. This is really cool. The angel says to get this. This is delicate, okay? This is delicate. Get you to Thuringian and say delicate right now. You gotta be the devil, I'm sorry. And anyway, you can't say that you have associated with the mind for countless lifetimes. And then the devil says, why not? And then the angel says, because for two things to associate with each other, they both have to exist. You can't have friends between a guy who exists and a guy who was never there. Got it? You cannot have a relationship between a human and a mannequin. Got it? You can't claim to have been in my mind for countless years and to have been the trustworthy companion of my mind for countless lifetimes if you don't exist. You can't have a relationship between two things, one of which exists and one which doesn't exist. You got it? The devil is no fool. Now I'm talking to the elderly students. He comes back with something cool. Oh, you fell into the coin debt. You fell into the extreme of thinking that if things aren't coming from you, they don't exist. I exist in a nominal way. I don't exist in an ultimate way. Isn't that your position? Didn't you always say that? Of course I exist. You are becoming a non-middle wayer. You have fallen off into the extreme of saying nothing exists. I'm here. I didn't understand I'm coming from myself. I come from seeds, but I'm here. Okay? I can have a relationship, because I'm here. Nominally. Properly. I come from seeds. And I'm real. That's a nice you're real. If you accuse me of not existing, you break your own rules. I got it? It's pretty cool. He's very slick. And he's right. Okay? Misunderstanding does exist in your mind. Is it empty?
Yes.
Is it coming from its own side?
No.
No. That, is it empty of coming from its own side? Does it not come from its own side?
Yes. Yes.
Does it not come from its own side? Yes, it does not come from its own side. Does that mean it doesn't exist?
No.
Okay. Does the pen come from its own side?
No.
Does that mean it doesn't exist?
No.
Does ignorance come from its own side?
No.
No. Does that mean it doesn't exist?
No.
Mr. Angel, get it? You know, you're the one who goes around saying that just because things don't come from their own side doesn't mean they don't exist. You're the one who said that. How can you accuse me of not being here? You know, I'm here. I come from your seeds. I'm really here. Okay? I never said I was self-existent. I'm not saying that. I agree with you. I'm here because you put the seeds for me to be here. Don't say I can't be the friend of your mind since countless past. I've been here. Because you planted me here. And I deserve to be here. You know, don't say I don't exist. Okay? Now I'll cause a problem with the elderly students. Okay? You ready? Here's the angel says, you don't even exist nominally. You don't even exist from my seed. That's like saying the pen doesn't even exist from my seed. Suppose we all agree that the pen is not coming from its own. That's not a problem. Do we all agree that the pen is coming from seeds in your mind, which you planted when you were generous with pens? Can we all agree that kindness is what keeps the world going? Okay? Now the angel comes and says, no. The angel comes and says, you didn't come from seed. You don't even exist that way. You don't exist from your side. We all agree, right? Say yes. You can go home if you say no. We all agree you don't come from your side. But you don't even come from my side. You don't come from the seeds I put in my own mind by how I behave towards others. Right or wrong? Right or wrong? Come on. Totally wrong. The angel is saying something incredibly stupid. Got it? The angel is saying the devil did not come from the angel's seed, which is not true. It did come from your seed. You created your own way of thinking. It is coming from you. Okay? You're the ones. I didn't do it. You did it. You were going like this. Got it? This is hard, right? It gets harder. We'll do it one more time. Does the pen come from its own side?
No.
Does it come from your side?
Yes.
Does the wrong way of thinking in your mind come from its own side?
No.
No. Nothing does. Does it come from habitual ways of wrong thinking in the past?
Yes.
Yes. Does it exist?
Yes.
Does the pen exist?
Yes.
Yeah. It's coming from your mind, and that's why you can use it. If it wasn't coming from you, it couldn't write. Get used to it. Okay? It could make you rich. It could make you young. It could save the world. Okay? Get used to it. It is coming from you, and that's what makes it real. Does the wrong thinking in your own mind come from seed in your mind?
Yes.
Say yes.
Yes.
Okay. Is the angel correct when the angel says, you don't come from my own mind?
No.
But the angel does say that.
It's wrong.
Go figure.
I'll give you the punchline, okay? My teacher used to send us home without the answer. I thought it was mean. He'd say, cook it. Right? Read there. Cook it. Now, careful. Stay with me, and then you can go home. Stay with me. It's your last homework question. Stay with me. If you were the devil in your own mind, would you understand where that devil was coming from? The devil is the wrong thinking. The devil thinks it's coming from his own side. This devil's more sophisticated. He says, I'm coming from you. Okay? But how does he feel about coming from you? Where does he think that's coming from? Here we are. Where does he think that's coming from? His own side. Got it? When he says, I do exist from your seeds, he doesn't believe that comes from your seeds. Because he's a devil. Got it? You okay? You okay? When he says, I do exist nominally, he thinks that's not nominal. Okay, got it? You alright? It's subtle. It's cool. This is the first mention of it. In the first page. I mean, what's going to happen later? I'll say it again. Let's say I'm the devil, but I don't want to be the devil, okay? And I say, I understand it's coming from me, but that doesn't come from me. Okay? That's more diabolical. That will really screw you up. I understand it's coming from me, but that doesn't happen. Got it? That's where he's at. That's what he's saying to wisdom. That's what he's saying to the angel. Okay? And the angel is saying, you don't come from me, because you don't come from me in the way you think you come from me, because you think you come from me because you come from me. I mean, from you. Oh, James. Okay? You think you come from me in a way that's coming from you. No. From your own side. Okay? Like that. Okay? Got it? Are you okay? Very subtle. You want to say it one more time?
Yes.
Okay. It's kind of weird for this. Don't forget how the argument started. You want the whole debate? I'll take you through the whole debate. It's beautiful. Wisdom says there's three kinds of Mahamudra. One is the kind you experience as you die. You can repeat that experience in deep meditation. And you can commune with God if you can repeat that experience in the meditation. And you can get to a point where you turn your body into an angel. If you can get to that experience. Okay? But you cannot get to that experience if the devil is still in your mind. Therefore, Mr. Devil, I ask you to leave. Then starts the fight. The devil says, I ain't leaving. You can't get rid of me. Angel says, why not? Devil says, I'm the one that took care of you all these years. How could you have gotten pens competing with the Chinese for resources? How would you have got your oil supplies if you didn't fight with the Chinese for the oil supplies? You see? How would you ever get anything if you didn't watch out for number one? And then Angel is like, you got it backwards, man. Share your oil supplies with China. Offer them oil supplies. Then some other kind of energy will come that doesn't pollute. Got it? It's very beautiful. Then wisdom is, and anyway, you couldn't have been in my mind since forever. The friend and companion of my mind, because to have friends, you both have to exist. You don't exist. And then ignorance says, I exist, I'm here, I came from seizing your mind. I'm not saying I exist not from you, I'm saying I exist from you. Don't you fall out of middle way. You're a middle way philosopher. Got it? Alright? Then wisdom says, you never did exist even from me. Then the devil says, you're crazy. Now you're really crazy. You know? No, because when you say you come from me, you think that doesn't come from you. How's that? Okay?
When you say, you come from me, you're thinking, that doesn't come from you. So, and I don't come, you don't come from me in that way. So you don't come from me at all, in any of the ways you think. So you don't come from me, and you don't exist. And you can't have been the companion of my mind, because you don't even exist. Got it? Are you okay? I can't do it yet. Go to Paradise Cafe, and go sit there, and you, maybe if we all sleep, we can get sleep. Okay, practically speaking, how are you going to use this? Because I'd like to leave you with that, okay? I don't want to leave you with some confusing argument between this thing, you know? What I'm saying is, tonight, you heard a theory, you heard a philosophy that says all the good things in your life have only come to you because you shared them with others. They are literally coming from your kindness towards others. Okay? Don't compete for oil supplies. Offer oil supplies. It's very profound. The way to increase the energy, what do you call it, resources of your country is to offer more oil to other countries. Okay? It's bizarre. It's crazy. Okay? Be more kind to others. More energy will come to you. More energy resources will come to you. Share them. Don't fight for them. Share them. And then new ones will come that you can't even imagine now. Okay? They will come. New things will come. Be kind and things will come to you. Okay? Trust it and do it and give the Chinese your oil supplies. Okay? For their economy. Say, well, God bless your economy. Here. Here's Exxon. Really? They tried to buy an oil company. They were blocked by Congress. They tried to buy it legally as a nice capitalist country. And they were blocked by Congress. Give them what you want. Give them what you need. And it will come back to you. Okay? More. Much more. Okay? It's intelligent, you see? That school of thought, can it stay in your mind when there's no gas at the pump? When you have to stand in line to get gas, will you be able to keep that philosophy of sharing when you can't get on? You see? Will your mind be strong enough? Who's gonna win the Super Bowl of your skull? You know? Is selfishness gonna win? Or is intelligence gonna win? You see? Start the fight tonight. How are you gonna use it at an irritating boss? The boss is always criticizing it. Where does it come from? From me. How did I plant the seed to hear my boss criticizing me? I was critical of somebody else. Okay, in this system, all criticism from bosses comes because you were critical of somebody in your family or somebody else. Okay? How do you shut off the critical boss? You stop being critical. Should you fight with them or should you not fight with them? Bad question. Just stop being critical, they will stop being critical. Got it? That way of thinking is now planted in your mind like a virus. I curse you tonight. Okay? No. You will forever doubt that any person you meet who you don't like is not a mirror of yourself. Okay? You will always doubt. Maybe they're coming from me. Wisdom has a foothold in your head as of tonight. And the fight will go on for the rest of your life. Okay? The fight will go on for the rest of your life. And it's a beautiful fight. It's a noble fight. It's a good way to spend your life. Okay? You've got to turn on the television. Which means what? You've got to watch the Super Bowl. Okay? You've got to get away from your mind and watch your mind punch it out. Okay? The next time your boss criticizes you, there's going to be this tiny little angel on the shoulder, right? What's it going to say?
Hey, maybe that's because you were critical last week, because somebody else...
Shut up. I hate him.
No, but what if it was you?
No, don't say that. You know? Obviously, he's an asshole. Everybody in the office thinks he's an asshole. I didn't meet one person who doesn't think he's an asshole.
Yeah, but maybe sure he's coming from you. Maybe you're an asshole.
I'm like, shut up.
And then gain the capacity to watch the talk. Okay? Step back. Watch the angel talk to you. And watch your mind fight it. You will fight. No, it's the boss. Everybody agrees. Everybody I know hates him. Okay? Oh, nobody loves him? Anyway. Okay? All right? Start to fight your mind and learn to step back and watch the fight, and that's Muhammad. Okay? And if you don't develop the capacity to watch the fight as a witness, you won't win. Or it'll take longer. Got it? So tomorrow morning, when we do meditation, we'll try to observe our own mind. Fighting with our own mind, okay? We'll try to develop the muscle or the ability to watch our own mind under stress, under conflict. Okay? And we'll be cheering for the right team, and maybe that will help. Okay? All right? That's all. Okay. It's a very, very sacred, undertaking, what we're doing these 3 days. Okay? If you could get good at it, you would be happy. And you would have everything you want. Like farming rice. Okay? It's a very sacred thing. You know, it's a sacred thing to go up on the mountain and chant and all that, right? But it's more sacred to talk about these things. Because this could change the world, okay? This could change your mind. Okay, good night. See you tomorrow.